I appreciate some of the folks from our church volunteering and being willing to help with this pastor's conference. That's a blessing and an encouragement to me, and I have the privilege to be able to be called their pastor, and I'm thankful for that privilege. And God has spoiled me, and I appreciate all that He's done and give me good folks who labor alongside of me. And one of those is our song leader, Brother Adrian. He's going to lead us in our first hymn. So we want to begin by singing out real well. I know you just ate, but do your best. All right, if you would stand, Brother Adrian's going to come and lead us in our first hymn.
341, please. 341. Pentecostal power, 341.
For singing out so well. Again, we're so glad to have you. Let's go ahead and begin with a word of prayer, and then I'll tell you about the schedule. I'm going to ask my brother and the chairman of the WIBF Fellowship, Pastor Fred Weiss, I'm going to ask him to open us in a word of prayer from right where he is, if you would please. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
That we need to be reminded of today. Please speak to all of us. That's the point of being here, Lord. We need to hear from you and not just go through the motions of a meeting. Please guide this time and bless this church for hosting it as well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Let me walk you through the schedule real quick, and then we'll sing another hymn here in just a moment. Of course, our theme this year for this conference, this pastor's conference, as we call it, just a one-day thing, obviously, but the theme is the shepherd's relationship with the sheep. And, of course, we have that behind me here. I did, when I was looking for a good picture, I found a good picture of a sheep sticking its tongue out. And I thought that would be perfect, but I had to pay for it, and I chose the free one instead, all right? But I thought many of you could relate, all right, to sheep sticking their tongue out at you. And sometimes we feel that way. But, of course, that's the theme of our conference, and the guest speaker that I asked to come is Pastor Tim Young, and I'll introduce him a little bit more later, but of course he has been a friend of mine for many years since Bible College. He was one of my teachers there, and just a blessing and encouragement to me, a great help to me. I felt like one of the highlights of going to the college where I went was the fact that Pastor Young was there teaching church ed for all 4 years, and so I wanted to share that with you and have you hear from him as well. But our schedule is, of course, this service that we're in now. We'll sing another song. We'll have you introduce yourselves to one another here in just a moment, and then after that, we'll have some special music. We'll get right into the first message, and then after that, we'll have about a 15-minute break, depending on how the time is, and then following that break, we'll have the question and answer time, where Pastor Young will be available to answer any questions you might have, and if we don't have any questions, he does have some things that he can cover, but at the same time, I thought it might be nice for you to have an opportunity to ask any questions that you might have regarding ministry, specifically about your relationship with the sheep that God has called you to pastor, and hopefully that will be a help to you. During that time, downstairs, if the ladies would like, no pressure whatsoever, but my wife will have coffee and tea and some cookies, I think, and just an opportunity for you during that about hour and 15 minutes of the break, as well as the Q&A time, for you just go down there and fellowship as ladies together, all right? She won't preach to you. It's just an opportunity to fellowship, okay? But that will be during that time, and then we'll have the final service should start at 3:15. We'll have a couple of hymns and then the last message. And we, Lord willing, will be done by 4:30 this afternoon, so you can have time to get home and be ready for tomorrow, okay? But again, thank you so much for being here and be a part of this. We're very glad to have you. And now at this time, you can go ahead and remain seated, but Brother Adrian's going to come and lead us in our second hymn.
259, please. 259. Jesus Saves, 259.
This time, I want to give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to one another. Most of us know one another. Not everybody does. And, of course, our guest speaker, Pastor Young, does not know many of you. So it'll be an opportunity for you to introduce yourself to him as well as others. And what we want to do at this time as well is we'll take it kind of in stages, all right? So if you are a full-time pastor, and what I mean by that is you are the what we would maybe call the senior pastor of a church, all right? So you're the guy they call when nobody else is willing to do anything, all right? You know what I mean there, okay? If you would at this time stand, if your wife is with you, if she would also stand, that would be a help, okay? So again, the senior pastor, we'll just put it that way. If you are the senior pastor of the church where you attend, if you would stand, again, if your wife is with you, if she would stand, and then Caleb and then Brother Adrian, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask you to help as well. Some of our men put together a small just a gift bag for the men, and the ladies put together a gift bag for the wives as well. So Rebecca, if you don't mind helping with that, That would be wonderful. You can take care of the ladies. All right, so let's start on my right-hand side here. If you would, introduce yourself and then what church you pastor, and then if you don't mind, how long you've been there. All right, those three items. And we'll start with Brother Hunter, if you would. Go ahead, Pastor. And then, by the way, once you state your name, remain standing until you get one of the gift bags. All right, Pastor Hunter. Amen. We're so glad to have you. Thank you so much for that. Brother Jones, if you would, you go ahead.
Pastor Clayton Jones, my wife Janet. We're from Tri County Baptist Church in Franklin, Wisconsin, on Highway 100 across from Howie's Apple Orchard.
Amen.
And been there 45 years.
Amen. 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 So good to have you, Brother Jones. We're so thankful that you could make it, your wife as well. Thank you, Mrs. Jones, for being with us.
We've been married 65 years.
65 years. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Good to have you. Thanks so much for being here. All right. Very good. Pastor Noonan, we'll go with you, and then we'll go over to our missionary friend as well. Yes, sir.
Dean Noonan, Faith Baptist Church in Oak Green, Wisconsin.
Amen.
Been pastor there for 32 years. 30? Stayed there 45 years ago.
Amen. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you so much for being with us today, Pastor Noonan. I appreciate that. And then, brother, go ahead and give us your name. Amen. Very good. So good to have you with us, brother. Thank you so much for being here. We are going to try to pray for his wife, who's dealing with cancer, really a kind of a serious situation there, if the Lord doesn't intervene. And so we're going to pray for him here in just a little bit. Pastor Wandell, go ahead if you would.
Randy Wandell, my wife Becky. We've been only married 42 years.
Boy, newlyweds, yeah.
Been at Victory Baptist Church in Beloit for 33 years.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Wandell, for being here. Mrs. Wandell, we're so thankful to have you. And then we have something there for you. All right, let's go ahead and start. Let's start here with we'll get Pastor Pritchett, the newest pastor in our state, at least as far as we're aware of, in the back. And then we'll work our way this way. Go ahead, Pastor Pritchett.
David Pritchett, Pastor Wunty Baptist Church. Been there 11, this past Sunday was our 11th Sunday.
Amen.
And my wife,
amen. Good to have both of you. And we love and appreciate Brother and Mrs. Pritchett. They're a blessing. We miss them very, very much, but thankful for what God's doing in their life. And thankful they could be with us today. Drove all the way from Wanakee, the only Wanakee in the world. All right, Pastor Fred, if you would.
Fred White, Bible Baptist in Greensburg. My wife is with me today and my son Reed as well. We are at the end of this summer, going to be there 12. The same day he moved here, I moved out and moved to Reed.
Yep. Very good. Amen. Good to have you. Thanks for coming, Fred and Mary and Reed. We're very glad to have you. I know there are no strangers around here. All right, Brother Marshall, go ahead.
Mike Marshall, pastor of Faith Baptist Church in Baldwin, Wisconsin. My wife, Stephanie. We have been there in Baldwin for 50 weeks.
Amen.
And we have been married for 55 and a half weeks.
Amen. Amen. Very good. That's a blessing, brother. Amen. And has it felt like 55 and a half weeks or 55 and a half years? No, don't answer that, brother. All right. All right. Days. Felt like days. That's right. Very good. All right, Brother Vetter, if you would.
Pastor Brian Vetter from Greater Point Baptist Church in Stevens Point. Amen.
I've
been there, senior pastor 3.5 years and 6 years of the assistant.
Amen. Amen. So good to have you, Brother Vetter. Thank you for coming. You're a blessing to us. We appreciate you very much. All right, Brother Dahl.
Yeah, Andy Dahl, Bible Baptist Church, Prairie Sheen, Wisconsin. Got a couple of beds in the church here today with Johnny, Brother Joel. Been there 24 years.
Amen. Praise the Lord. That's a blessing. Thank you for coming, Brother Dahl. We appreciate you very, very much. And if you would, go ahead, Brother Matthews.
Rick Matthews, pastor of First Bible Baptist Church in Green Bay, Wisconsin. And one of our deacons, Steve Cotter.
Amen. Amen. So good to have you, Brother.
He's the guy that they call when no one else will
be there. Amen. Wise pastor sets it up that way. That's wonderful. Very good. And Pastor Matthews and I share the same Bible college that we're alumni of, so I appreciate his friendship, and it's a blessing that the state now allows two of us here. That's, or actually three, because we have Brother Van Zee up in Menominee as well, so that's a blessing. All right, we'll go ahead, Brother Lou. Amen. Amen. So good to have you, Brother Lou. Appreciate you very much, and appreciate your ministry up there as well. Brother Maddies.
Dudley Maddies, Bible Baptist
Amen. Amen. So good to have you with us, Brother Mattis. Thank you. And Mrs. Mattis, thank you so much for coming. Good to have you very much there. And Pastor Weiss. Amen.
Amen.
So good to have Mark and Sarah with us. And of course, Mark is my oldest brother, and he is a blessing to me. And he has been somebody that I've looked up to all my life as far as the pastorate. And he's been a pastor almost all my life. And has been just somebody that I aspired to be able to live up to. And his expectations. So nice to be able to pastor nearby both of my brothers. And that's an encouragement. All right. If you would, though, if you are in full-time ministry, or what I mean by that is if you are, whether you're, you know, full-time paid or not, but you are working for the ministry and God's work, if you would stand, maybe you're the assistant pastor or an evangelist or a missionary or whatever, you might be an intern or something like that, if you would stand as well, we want to make sure to get you, and if you do have your wife with you, she can stand as well, all right? So we'll put some of them on the spot too. We'll start right over here. Yes, sir, that is you. Yes.
Me. I'm the sheep that sticks his tongue out.
Amen. That's a good title to have.
Amen. I work with Pastor Newton.
Amen. So good to have you. Thanks so much for being with us. The blessing to have you here. Yes, sir.
Josh Anthony, Pastor Newton.
Amen. Do you stick your tongue out too?
Yeah.
Okay, good man. Brother Newton wouldn't take it from you. Yes.
Matt Keelis,
Brother Amen. So good to have you. Thank you so much for being here. Amen. Very good. Very good. And we know you don't stick your tongue out at him. All right. Very good. Yes, sir. Amen. So good to have you. Thanks so much for being here. Appreciate that. Yes, sir.
Johnny Pancratz. I'm with Pastor Andy Dalton.
Amen. Good to have you, Johnny. Thanks for being here with us. We're very glad to have you. It's right here, right next to Pastor Dahl there in the middle. All right. And then the man who left me just a few months after I got here, deserted me. I was new in the ministry here, and he just took off. Go ahead. Not at all. Just better. Yeah. Go ahead, Pastor Chris.
Chris Anderson, I'm the assistant pastor at Bible Baptist with Pastor Fred White, and then my wife Christy is with us.
Amen.
And Maddie, our oldest, and then the other three.
Amen. Amen. Very good. So good to have you, Pastor Chris and Christy. Good to have you and your family. We love them. And just teasing, of course, about him leaving. The Lord did want him to go. I do believe that, and be a help there in Reedsburg, and what a blessing God has done with them. Well, thank you so much for being with us. I don't think we missed anybody. If we did, I apologize. Talk to me afterwards, and we'll introduce you, all right? But so glad that you're here and could be a part of this time. We are very thankful for the ministry that God has called you to, and the place where you serve. And listen, one of the things here in our state that we recognize in these days, probably more than ever before, is that we need one another. And I need you to be where you are, serving where you are, and strengthened and encouraged. And many of you, by name, I will pray for often, and pray for on Sunday mornings. And I will ask the Lord to work in your house of worship and fill the pews and fill you with God's Spirit, that you could preach the word with power, because our state, our nation is bettered when our churches are strong and when God's men feel strengthened. And I did notice that Brother Williams didn't stand up. Brother Williams, you're not helping me here. Pastor Williams, who I know is full-time in the ministry still, would you mind standing and introducing yourself and your bride, if you would, please?
My wife, Pat.
Amen.
And myself. We're not in full-time ministry, but we're preaching.
Amen. Amen. You're full-time in the Lord's army.
I've only been doing this 60 years.
Oh, amen, amen. Amen. Pastor Williams has been a blessing, and of course a very great blessing in our state, and he is the father-in-law to Pastor Grohl, and he probably can stick his tongue out at Pastor Grohl, but he doesn't. I know him well enough to know. But he's father-in-law, so he could. But anyway, thank you so much for being with us today. At this time, what we're going to do is we'll have some special music, and then our special speaker, Pastor Tim Young, will come. Let me take just a moment to tell you just a little bit about him. He graduated from Bible College in 1979, I believe it was the year they graduated from Bible College, and then stayed on staff for just a few short months. And after that, went back to his home area of upstate New York. Palmyra is the name of the town, not far from Rochester, New York. And he started the Heritage Baptist Church in Palmyra, New York, there. And God blessed him, and the church was very successful there. He pastored it for 14 years. And after that, went to work with Windsor Hills Baptist Church down in Oklahoma City in the missions program there, and to work as specifically for a time in the former Soviet Union, Russia. And that, he can tell you a little bit more about that if he wants to. But during that time, while he was at Windsor Hills, he was also missions director there. And he taught several classes, he and his wife both, at Oklahoma Baptist College, where my wife and I went. And he taught church ed all 4 years that I was there. And I tell you, there were a couple of different teachers that I feel like I learned a lot from. And it was worth the price of admission to go to school to learn from them. And he probably wouldn't want me telling you this, but Pastor Young was one of those. I believe that I gained just a lot from listening to him in church ed, day after day, just tell about how the Lord had used him there, and not in a bragging way, but just in things that he learned, and maybe mistakes that he had made, and how he might do something different, or successes that he had had, and what worked and what didn't work. And it was just such a blessing and an encouragement to hear from a pastor who had some experience. And I'm thankful for my time that I had there with him. And my wife and I drew close to him and his wife while we were there with them. In 2001, they moved to Clio, Michigan. He pastored there for several years and then went back to Heritage Baptist Church in Palmyra and pastored there again a second time for 16 years. And just recently then retired and handed the church over to somebody else so that he could go around and preach and help other churches in other places. And I'm appreciative of the fact that he could be with us here today. And I'm very thankful for that. But he's going to come up as soon as the special music is done. But Pastor Pritchett and I have had the opportunity to sing lots of special music together while he was my assistant. And so I roped him into it again. And so he was willing to do that. I sure appreciate his willingness to sing with me today. And then immediately after this, then, Pastor Young, you just come on up and preach to us, if you would, please.
We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. We go not forth alone against the foe. Strong in thy strength, safe in thy keeping tender, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. Yes, in thy name, O Captain of salvation, in thy dear name, all other names above, Jesus our righteousness, our sure foundation, our Prince of glory and our King of love. We go in faith, our own great weakness feeling, and needing more each day thy grace to know. Yet from our hearts a song of triumph pealing, we rest on thee, and in thy name we go. We rest on thee, and in thy name we go. We rest on thee, our shield and our defender. Thine is the battle, thine shall shall be the praise when passing through the gates of pearly splendor. Victors, we rest on thee through endless days. When passing through the gates of pearly splendor, victors, we rest on thee through endless days.
Well, it's a blessing to be here. I'm sorry they didn't have any footprints on the carpet here. We knew how to get around each other just a minute ago. It looked like some kind of a dance we were starting. And they can't even hear the music. It's a blessing for me to be here. I appreciate the introduction. I'm not sure who he was talking about, but occasionally my name came up, and I feel bad about that. I think it wasn't a matter of teaching. It was a matter of serving the Lord together. We just had different capacities when we were down in Oklahoma City. I had a great joy of getting to meet these dear folks, and, of course, my wife as well. She taught missionary health and medicine. She was a registered nurse and then also first aid. And The church ed that he took was very easy because I gave everybody an A because it made me look good. And the fact is it was very easy because all I did is said, well, if you get a pastor church, whatever you do, don't do this. Because I've made the mistakes and you've probably been there yourself as far as that. But it was a blessing and then to have an opportunity to be in the church service on Sunday and be here. And thank the Lord for you men, and I know there's many others around the state perhaps could not make it, but really, we do need to stick together, because that saying will come out, or we'll hang separately. We need to do what we can to be an encouragement and a blessing, and these kind of meetings do help us. Sometimes we have to get over the shock of who it is. Maybe it's a guest speaker to find out what he's like and what he says and what does he really know. I don't know very much. We'll probably exhaust everything. He's got me coming up a few times today, and I'm probably run out of stuff. But anyway, the Lord saved me when I was 22 years old, and actually when we started the church, I was getting on 30 years old, so I was kind of a late bloomer. My wife and I have been together since she was 14 and I was 15. We weren't married at that time. Our parents had something to say about that. Anyway, she got saved in nursing school. In fact, the lady that led her to Christ, an instructor that she had, picked her up on it. She was walking. She lived off campus her third year, and she was walking to school, and the instructor stopped and knew her because she was one of her classes and gave her a ride. And apparently that lady realized that my wife was looking and searching for something and took her in her office and led her to Christ. And I came home one weekend. I was in school down by New York City. I went to school for phys ed. I was going to be a gym teacher someday. I got home one weekend because I played sports in college, and she invited me to go to church. So I thought we'd go to the Catholic church, you know. I can sit through about anything as long as I get the girl, you know. But she took me to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church, and the first time I ever heard the gospel, and I thought, good night in the morning. I didn't get saved that Sunday, but that was October in 1972, and January of 1973, I was back there, and I received Christ as my Savior. Yeah. And what a blessing. And so it's been 50 years, actually, in the ministry, and I'm thankful for that. I've been married, 50 years of being married. I'm just a kid for some of you, obviously, here. But and I always kid about it, you know, with all the grandkids, the house, the dog, and the aches and pains and everything else. And all I did was ask for a date, and I didn't realize that was on the menu too. But anyway, it's been a blessing, and I'm thankful for my dear bride. And thank you. I feel like kind of that. You remember the story about the Viking ship or a ship of that vintage where they had slaves down in the in the belly of it, and they were rowing, and of course there was a gentleman beating cadence as they were rowing. And a note came down from the captain, and so the guy was beating the cadence, sounding the cadence for the rowing, and he said to the guys, these guys have been shackled to those oars for all this time, and he said, I got some good news and I got bad news. And they said, well, give us some good news, because we haven't had good news in a long time. And he said, well, this afternoon, the captain's going to serve a big old steak and salad, baked potato, tumbler of milk, you know, apple pie, and all kinds of sumptuous food. And they broke out into a cheer. And he said, well, now the bad news. This afternoon, the captain wants to go water skiing. So I feel like, it's kind of one of these things this afternoon, kind of get us after eating a sumptuous meal like we just had and thank the Lord for the church and the provisions as far as that. But I'll do what I can to try to keep you. I know what it's like sometimes coming in. I'm not putting you to sleep yet. I've got two other times to give a shot at that. But anyway, take your Bibles, turn to John, the 10th chapter. I'm glad that you're in the ministry. I'm thankful that I had the privilege of going into the ministry. I obviously, growing up, would never would have suspected it, never was in a Bible-believing church. And I'm so thankful for what the Lord's allowed me and the people He's allowed me to meet through the years. It has just been faithful. Two miracles that I look at most. First, obviously, is the miracle of salvation. The second one is longevity. And here are the testimonies here of people who have just been there. Now, I'm a little shaky about 50 weeks, but no, I'm kidding. Brother Mike there, but I'm assuming he'll be there a scooch longer. But that's a great testimony to be there and build a foundation. Because sometimes we're always thinking, well, we'll start here and then we're going to go here. You're not supposed to, and we're not supposed to be building our kingdom. I think there's a liability in that where we evaluate things based on how many showed up. I'm not against counting, or I'm not against, trying to reach as many as possible. But when we do it based on, when I would go to I didn't go every year, but go to alumni banquet at the college I went to, they gave you a little adhesive, plaque up here, and you could write your name and stuff on there because nobody remembered your name. And they'd walk up, and you didn't want to be embarrassed looking at your name tag, so they'd ask you three questions. What's your name? Where are you from? And how many are you running? And I mean, I had a friend that wrote on his, he didn't write his name, he just put, don't ask. So it's so often that's not how we evaluate the Lord's work. He's given us opportunities where we are. Use it. You'll be accountable to that, not accountable to what somebody else is doing. Pray for them. Thank the Lord for them. But we're not building our kingdom. We're trying to build His kingdom. Yeah. That's the key. Now, we're going to talk this morning or this afternoon about being shepherds or shepherding. And that's certainly what the Bible challenges about. And, of course, the very idea. I think I'd like the sheep to have his tongue sticking out myself. I thought that was a neat idea. Because, we've been there, done that, got the T-shirts. But we're working with sheep. We're not working with museum relics. They're perfect. We work with people. And that's why most everybody has a twitch about our age like that, working with it. John, the 10th chapter. I'm going to have you to stand. You haven't stand since the first song, so I'm going to have you stand to get some of the blood, away from your digestive system, maybe get other parts of your body, maybe upstairs a little bit, keep you with us. John, the 10th chapter, I'm going to read from verse 1 down through verse 11, or verse 16, excuse me, and I'm going to ask you to follow along as I read aloud. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but that they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, but by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own sheep whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, but he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not in this of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. And let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, I pray that you would bless and help us in this time we'll be together. I pray that the Word of God might encourage our hearts, and thank you for these ministries that are represented, because each one has people that it's in contact with and that are part of that fold, and our sheep that belong to you. And we, as under-shepherds, have the responsibility of enriching and encouraging, and just as it was described here, what the Lord said he would do about the sheep and how he cared for them. Lord, may we do the same. I pray that you bless the thought. In Christ's name, amen. You may have a seat. In the verse 6, it says this, "This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." I think it's important for us to understand the great responsibility we have in ministering to those people that the Lord refers to as sheep. We're not in industry, we're not in business, we're not other than the Lord's business, I understand that statement, but the fact is, we're in the pasturing business. The word pastor actually means shepherd, and it's a known statement across the globe. If somebody's referred to as a pastor, they realize it means a shepherd of people. And it's always important for us to keep that in mind, because in the day and age in which we live, we evaluate things and ourselves based on how high we go up the ladder, when Jesus said, it's not how high you go up, it's the fact is the man, he became a servant. And he served the fold or his sheep as God had given him instruction, and we have a great responsibility to do that as well. In these chapters, in chapter 10, actually chapter 9 and chapter 10, of course, there's a break in chapters, but actually he's speaking to the same people. And really, in chapter 10, he's basically showing a contrast between the sheep that he represents and the shepherd that he represents and what was taking place in the 9th chapter. In the 9th chapter, there was a man born blind, and Jesus healed him. The shepherds there, because it wasn't according to what they thought that ought to be, they reviled him. And when he said, I'm not sure exactly, but I know I was blind and now I see. And they said in that chapter, in chapter 9, he said, well, he's not a man of God. He's God in the flesh. And they were the shepherds of Israel, if you please, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and leaders in example, but obviously they'd long since. And that's why Jesus says thieves and robbers, for their own well-being, for their own things. Now, it's not a matter of accusing, it's keeping in mind the fact that we have a balance of our whole life, that that grace and truth. And, there are books, Steel and Velvet and so forth like that, because we're supposed to work on that balance. We work on our whole life, trying to keep the right balance and everything, making sure of truth, but also still have that love. It's kind of like being married. I couldn't figure out in all those early years why my wife wouldn't conform to what I thought a wife was supposed to be. She was probably thinking the same thing about a husband. Now, we certainly have responsibilities in that way. But I'm saying it's the same thing sometimes in leading people and guiding people as sheep. They're not all the same. They're all different. They all have different needs, different backgrounds. You men that have been in the ministry years, there was a time when I was a young man at that time. I started when I was like 29. But the fact is people come in and tell me something that was going on in their life, and I'd say, well, I'll be right back. I'd go out in the hallway and against the block wall and bang my head against it a couple of times because I couldn't believe what I just heard that going on in somebody's life. I mean, I wasn't born under a rock or anything like that. I mean, I'd lived in the world for 22 years, but the fact is, it's amazing what some people endure as sheep growing up. The baggage they have. And if they don't have a shepherd that really is conscious of that, then I know my sheep. You know, it's not in just a distance way. I know their name and everything else, but they know. And it doesn't mean to be an investigative detective as far as knowing everybody about everything about somebody's life, but everybody's got a life. And I think back in years gone by, I'm not saying that I pushed this, but, you know, now, and the preacher asked me a question. He said, do you think that older preachers become more mellow, so to speak? I'm not going to say how what he added with that. But the thing is, more mellow as they get older. And I thought about that. I did not ask him last night. And I told him, I'm not sure exactly how, I never give it that thought. But it made me think through the course of the evening and then this morning. The fact is, I think sometimes as you get older, you get more understanding as far as who you're ministering to. And the idea is the needs they have. Rather than some kind of robotic taking care of them and how to put them in a certain place, everybody stay there. And the idea is all of a sudden you have more mercy. By the way, that's not a man's characteristic, it's God's characteristic. You have more mercy towards people. It doesn't mean leniency. God's not lenient. He has more mercy. Okay, they make dumb decisions. Now, I've never worked with sheep other than, you know, as the Lord refers to a people as far as that. But I've worked with livestock. And I thought cows were dumb. But I understand sheep are way down the road from that. But the idea is we have to realize that that's who we're working. And we're the shepherd, the under-shepherd, if you please. So we have to have an understanding of the sheep that we're pastoring and overseeing or shepherding in that way. And that's not a challenge to say you're not. It's always keep that balance, making sure we understand. Because some sheep will irritate you. Some certainly like to, you know, get out of the flock, so to speak. But the idea is God calls us to minister. So in this portion of Scripture, he's talking in chapter 9 about the fact of healing that blind man. And obviously the blind man's reviled and Jesus himself is not called a man of God. And then he goes in the 10th chapter and talks about shepherding sheep and that he is, in verse 11, the good shepherd. So there's probably a lot of qualities that Jesus actually did as a shepherd for his sheep that we could make application to in our own lives. And that's tough sometimes because we have a human nature. So from the entirety of the beginning of the Bible or throughout the Scriptures, God demonstrates himself to be a shepherd. Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. Psalm 77:20, thou leadest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. God's a shepherd. Psalm 79, verse 13, so we thy people and sheep of thy pasture will give thanks forever. We will show forth thy praise to all generation. Psalm 80, verse 1, give ear, O shepherd of Israel. The Lord's a shepherd. The more we become like him, the more shepherding we're like. Rather than CEOs or, you know, chief cook and Bible class. I'm supposed to be a servant. I'm supposed to be a shepherd. In Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 11, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms and carry them into his bosom and shall gently lead those that are with young. That's the Lord doing that for his people. So we have the privilege of being called by the Lord to be the under-shepherd and him being the great shepherd. And the good shepherd. And we should obviously replicate that in our lives of what he was like. In the New Testament, Matthew the 9th chapter, verse 36, it says, but when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. That's what he saw people as. Sheep having no shepherd. Luke the 12th chapter, verse 32, fear not, little flock. He was talking to his disciples. He referred to them as a flock. In Mark the 14th chapter, verse 27, and Jesus said unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered. Jesus is a shepherd. Now, we understand that. There's no doubt. In the picture you see oftentimes, maybe years gone by, of a shepherd holding a little lamb, and it's a picture of Jesus as some artist anticipated the possibility of that's what he looked like, but he's only a little lamb. He's a shepherd. In Hebrews, the 13th chapter, verse 20, it says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." 1 Peter, the 2nd chapter, verse 25. "For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls." That overseer. I have a great responsibility. It's a humbling thing rather than try. Obviously, we have that tenacity of a young man when we get started in things of that nature. And if we're not careful, we'll allow the world to influence the way we orchestrate and operate and whatnot. But the idea is the primary purpose is to be like Jesus and guide his sheep. You still, yes, you lead. The shepherd leads. He leadeth me. Okay, so we have that responsibility. We don't, it's not a matter of pushing. It's a matter of leading. So when you think of your people and you think of individuals that were within your ranks as far as that, as sheep or in your fold, the thing is, all of them are different. I'm sure that a shepherd, when he actually had sheep, had certain sheep he had to watch over more than other ones. And some that were somewhat rebellious. Now, I wish we could break the leg sometimes, like the shepherd was told they did. Broke a leg, slow the guy up a little bit. I'm not sure that would be a good thing to do. But I'm just saying that we all have, they're all different. And even more so when you come to the human nature and so forth of what's taking place. So the Pharisees and the Sadducees set themselves up as shepherds. Look, if you will, to Ezekiel, a familiar portion of Scripture, the 34th chapter. So God sees himself as a shepherd, the Lord Jesus as a shepherd. But he deals with the shepherds back in the book of Ezekiel and talks about them, and this is what he says. In the 34th chapter, look, if you will, at verse 1. "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel, prophecy, and say unto them, prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, ye clothe you with wool, ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The disease have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost, but with force and with cruelty and ye have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd, and they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains and upon every high hill. Yea, my flock was scattered upon all the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherds search for my flock. But the shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more. For I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. For thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture upon the high mountain of Israel, shall they their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountain of Israel. I will feed my flock, I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. Look at verse 23. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them, even my servant David. David is long since served his Lord and gone on to his reward. He's referring it in a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ, who was of the lineage, obviously, of David. Verse 24, And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it. So you have the contrast between what Jesus is saying in John the 10th chapter and what was taking place in John the 9th chapter, when those who were supposed to be shepherds, it certainly is a description of these type of Pharisees and Sadducees who were the spiritual leaders. Now, it's not an accusation of you either one or the other, but you and I realize, and I must use this kind of, it was a little illustration I used in church Sunday, but I think it so well demonstrates the battle we as human beings have to make sure we're seeing things in a proper way. I mentioned Sunday, I said we have five senses. We have a smeller, we have a taster, we have a sight, we have hearing, touch. I think I got all the five of them. Now, you ladies have a sixth sense. My mother had it. I'm not going to talk about it because I didn't really appreciate it back when I was growing up. I could come in the house and you said, where you been? What? You know, I mean, they had that sixth sense, I guess, or whatever the case. But all those senses feed information to your mind and cause you to act a certain way. What you think determines how you feel, and how you feel determines what you do. I asked Sunday, how many have ever cried watching a movie? I don't care if it's Sheffy or either, you know what I mean? Okay, all right, so yeah, I want you guys to be honest, you know, like that. Cried last night at a movie. But anyway, the thing is, do you know those actors who were on that screen and somebody died and you got teary-eyed and you said, I think I'll get a glass of water. And you go out to the kitchen because you don't want anybody in the living room to know that you've been, you know, all welled up about that, what took place. The actors got up after the camera panned in a different direction, got up and congratulated the guy that just shot him. Said, man, great acting. And you're on the couch crying. What it is what you see determines what you think, and what you think determines how you feel, and how you feel determines how you act. Years ago, they used to have those, and I don't know if they do with McDonald's, but they used to have those billboards along the highway that said, aren't you hungry? I could never figure out how they knew that. Matter of fact, I am. They're the same people that put those marquees inside those malls that said, you are here. How do they know that? Who's watching? So the thing is, feed information. I think your eyes feed more information to your mind than anything else. You evaluate things. You look at me and said, who is that old guy? Or the thing is, we look at some situation. You know, come on, we're preachers. You know, we check out buildings, check out what they... I mean, I walk past the classrooms downstairs. I don't pastor anymore. I walk by the classrooms, you know, and, you know, would get ideas from other churches. Not, you know, I didn't put it in my book of original ideas, okay? So, yeah, I mean, but there's a lot of information out there you can get and glean from. You're not where wisdom and knowledge stopped, okay? We're always learning. And the thing is you see things, it feeds information into your mind. Well, I learned a long time ago, I was in a gun shop. I was buying a gun. I should say I was shopping because usually I'm a buyer. You know, if I got to get something, I go and get it and leave. I don't shop. But anyway, in a gun store, I would call shopping. I'll look at what they have. And I went in there, and the proprietor said to me, he said, can I help you? And I said, yes, I'm looking for a 270 bolt action, left-handed. He said, what's your dominant eye? And I gave him one of those looks like... And he said, well, do something for me. He said, make a triangle out of your arms and fingers like that. Do this with me, would you? Make a triangle like that. Put your arms out as far as you can. Say, oh, great one. No, I'm kidding. No, put your arms up there. Okay. Hold them out there. Way out as far as you can. I know they're getting heavy. But the thing is, put an object right in the center of that triangle. Okay. Now, don't move your head. Close your left eye. See where that object is in relationship to that triangle. Open it up. Close your right eye. And see where that is in relationship to the triangle. Open your eyes. Put your hands down. Don't spend the rest of the hour going... trying to figure this out, okay? What took place, and you perhaps already knew, you have a dominant eye, and your other eye is used for depth perception. My dominant eye is my left eye, and so that object, which was the clock, was actually, it stayed right in the center of that triangle the whole time I was, you know, doing that. And when I opened my right eye, the right eye just almost went off the triangle, went out of the sight. So this afternoon, did you see which one is your dominant eye? Okay, anybody's not, okay. All right, anybody not see it? Okay, you're the gut person that don't. I was told a story. I was down in Louisiana preaching in a church, and I was telling that because really I'll show you what it applies to, and it's really apropos. There was a lady laughing in the back. Now, I don't know that she who she was or anything, but I know she had very light-colored hair. And so she's sitting in the back. She's laughing. And I said, ma'am, I said, I didn't say anything funny yet. You know what? And so I went on and said, now close it. And she's back there laughing, doing this. I say, ma'am, what's so funny? She's like, I got a glass eye. She's trying to figure out what her dominant eye was. Okay. You know, your dominant eye. Before I got saved, and I lived like the devil before I got saved, the only way I could see things was from Tim Young's perspective through various different influences in my life growing up. Now, I, you know, born 51, so the thing is elementary school I started in 55, 56, and the thing is, and so, you know, that was the era, Father's Knows Best, Gunsmoke, I don't remember why you said that, who was it, The Texan, I don't know, some different ones, Zane Grey, I'm losing some of you. Black and white, you know? And the thing is, the influence, my mom and dad was fought in the Pacific in World War II. I had two brothers in service during the Vietnam era. And the thing is so we had a very, you know, back then a lot of things were more conservative. And even in whatever party you happen to belong to, you know what I mean? Our nature was kind of like that. But the thing is that I grew up with the influences, and I worked at Eastman Kodak for a couple of years. That Rochester, New York, 60,000 people were employed in Eastman Kodak, just in Rochester. So they're a big employer. And then Xerox, that's where their headquarters was, 17,000. Bosch and Lomb was another one, was like 12,000. So economically, it was a strong. And I worked at Eastman Kodak, went to Rochester Institute of Technology, taking architectural drafting. And then I saw a guy that had been at a drafting board for 40 years, and I didn't want to look like that. All hunched over, you know, with a pencil and stuff like that. Now, if you're a draftman, yeah, obviously everything's computer now. And so I went to school for phys ed. And while I was going to school, I worked three jobs. I worked at the library, public library. We used to have to pay for education back then. Public library. I worked security at the college, and I was a bartender. Now, the reason I was a bartender, because it's cheaper to drink on that side than it is on the other. Never mind. And the thing is that when I got saved, though, God changed my perspective. And so, and I mean, where I got saved wasn't where the college was. I got saved 5 hours drive away from it. But when I got saved, they got saved. So I got back. Nobody said anything to me. I went to my boss and said, Bob, I can't tend bar for you anymore. He says, why not? I said, couldn't even explain it. I just knew that's what I mean, I could have done it. Nobody would have known. But I'd have known. And he'd have known. And I didn't know anything about the Bible. It is a miracle when he changes the direction of an individual. And so at that point in time, I needed a shepherd. And I'm thankful for those who were patient with me as a young man who had that upbringing to bring me into the fold. And even back then, I probably was closer and more knowledgeable than what our world is today. You're working in a different environment than we did back in the 70s and 80s and even 90s. People, you know, I remember the first time a lady in our church, she was from England. Her husband married her and met her over in England. They came over and he worked at Xerox. And she had a nephew and a friend who were coming to America. This was back in the 80s. Were coming to America to travel for a month, just travel around and see America. She asked me, she said, would you come over to the house one evening and witness to my nephew and his friend? I said, yes, I'd be glad to. I got over there, and we started talking, and I got into the gospel. And I asked him the question, I said, you know the story about Adam and Eve? And they said, no. I said, you ever heard of Adam and Eve? And they said, no. And that's the way it is now. So it's not a matter of what it was. If you have a drought and you happen to be a farmer, you have to do what you do in drought time. If there's plenty of water and everything else, okay, it's different. And perhaps there had been a time where we obviously had the opportunity to talk with people that at least believed the Bible was the Word of God. And they had an attitude towards, and some of us remember that they never locked churches up. A person could go into a church at any time, day or night, they would say to pray because something's going on in their life. I mean, security camera, alarm systems, you know, think about it, armed guards at the church house. We live in a different society, I would say. Now, some missionaries would be very mindful of that type of, but we're experiencing that in America. But we're still supposed to be shepherds. We're supposed to tend to the sheep. They're different. We can't go out and say, well, there was a day. Yeah, I know, but that's not today. So it's important for us to give thought to that idea. So the Pharisees are demonstrated here in Ezekiel, but the truth is we're actually shepherds now. When I was in school, there was a fella in my class, his name was Art. Art grew up on a dairy farm. We were in a rural area in actually the town of Marion, not far from Palmyra. Palmyra is where Joe Smith started Mormonism. I tell people I went there in 1980 to look for the gold tablets that he lost. Gold was up. I didn't find the gold tablets, but I found a lot of jewels. But the thing is Art, Couperus was his last name, Dutch, and he would get up in the morning. I can still remember this from elementary school. He'd get up in the morning, get dressed for school, put his coveralls over himself, and went out and milked cows. Cleaned the stalls, fed the cows, or, you know, in the gutter and everything, cleaned it all out. And then when he got done, he'd take his garment off, and he said his school clothes on, so he's ready to get on the bus. But while he was in the cow barn, he didn't realize it, the scent permeated even into his school clothes. Now, I grew up working on dairy farms, stuff like that. But Art always smelled like a cow barn. You could tell he'd been in the barn. You know, as a shepherd, somebody had to at least be able to tell just by our walk, our attitude, and everything else. We ought to have the smell of sheep on us. We shouldn't isolate ourselves from the sheep because we're supposed to take to them. When they shepherded those sheep, they at night obviously slept basically where they slept in those folds, maybe a temporary shelter, whatever the case may be. They were with them all the time. They carried them and everything else. Shepherds were not necessarily high on the social calendar as far as inviting to your home. We have a shepherd here tonight. in other words, there's that scent that permeates you. Well, if I'm a shepherd, there ought to be the sense of working with people and working with sheep that people know that's what we do. Now, you've probably never done this, and you probably very seldom ever seen it, where somebody that's a pastor or a preacher or whatever the case may be treats people like second-class citizens. Maybe they were sitting at a table in a restaurant, and somebody's waiting on them. And they act like they're frustrated with the servant. Actually, that's the way you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be a servant. Jesus said, the greatest among you shall be servants. So we ought to realize that in the day and age, it just seems like there's a lot of CEOs coming out of colleges and everything else. And I can remember Dr. Evans, who happened to be the president of the college I went to, he came to our church, and I took him out Sunday afternoon for dinner, and I wanted to see if I could get him to choke on something. And so I said, Brother Evans, I don't think I'll ever hire anybody else from college. He said, how come? I said, well, I feel like I'm hiring a contractor. Well, this is what I do. Okay, you may be proficient in something, but when you're serving in a church and you happen to be on staff, the thing is you're supposed to serve in everything. Well, this is what I do. Well, I hope that works well for you because you ain't going to do it here. I'm not saying they have to grovel or anything else. You want to take care of them. But the thing is they're shepherds. I have a couple pet peeves. One is ladies pushing a grocery cart out to their car. Why do they do it in the center of the drive? Never. I guess teach me patience or something like that. The other is somebody teaching somebody the ministry that's never really been in a ministry. I'm not trying to be unkind towards anybody here. Please believe me as far as that. But if you don't have the smell of sheep on you, I'm not sure what you got to teach in the ministry. And whether assistant or teacher or, you know, whatever capacity, even as lay individual. We're shepherding people. And we're working with people that are so vastly different. How many know Brother Bob Smith from Fort Worth? Okay. Yeah, no, he's, you know, friend and whatnot. And one time he was telling me, he said he was getting ready to step down from the pastor. I said, oh, no kidding. He goes, yeah, he said, I'm getting... He said, people will come in and tell me something. And he'd say, I must have stupid written all over my face for you to think I could believe that. Now he says, I don't say it, but that's what I want to say. And I know the feeling, you know, as far as that. And perhaps you have as well. You know, somebody says, well, God's led me to, you know, whatever. And you're thinking, you know, God didn't lead you to do that. But I'm just saying, you and I deal with circumstances sometimes. We have to be patient with the sheep. They don't know any better. That doesn't mean that becomes truth to them. Well, the Lord hasn't convicted me about that. Well, the Bible says, you know, I haven't been convicted about that. That's a great excuse. So if we don't have the smell of sheep on us, he summoned Peter at one time. He said, feed my sheep. And Paul said in Acts the 20th chapter, he said, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost has made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. 1 Peter the 5th chapter, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. That's a challenge to us. They're his sheep. We are the under shepherd, taking care of his sheep. He's coming one day. We'll be held accountable. And so we always have to make sure that we always get back to the right place. How many here wear corrective lenses? Some people contact, obviously I do, as far as that. When I was 45, I used to be able to read the back of a pill bottle, you know? I mean, my wife would say, could you read that one? I'd read it. I got to be 45. My arms weren't long enough to read the Bible. And so I went to the doctor, and so they gave me corrective lenses so I could see things. And periodically, I go back to get my eyes checked. How many do that? Okay. Do you know what the invitation is at a church? It's an invitation to get your eyes checked to see how you're looking at things. You have a dominant eye. When I was unsaved, I saw certain things a certain way. When I got saved, I could see it from God's perspective. And you still have both those perspectives. And the thing is if you get to the ophthalmologist, the great physician, to get your eyes checked, you'll be able to find out what your dominant eye is, whether it's your carnal eye or whether it's a spiritual eye. Look in Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew, the 6th chapter. I always thought that this was the Sermon on the Mount, but it's not. It's the Sermon on the Mount. 6th chapter, if you look there at verse 22. I think it is. I got one more page to go here. There we go. Verse 22 says, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? When I could see from my carnal perspective, I gauged everything based on what I thought or maybe the pressure influence. But when I see things from God's perspective, it's a whole different thing. Yeah. And so if you're not careful, and you and I are not careful, and when we're working with sheep, our tendency is to become more carnal than spiritual. Yeah. And it's not an indictment. I'm just saying that I go periodic to get my eyes checked, and sometimes they change the prescription. I might notice that something's off a little bit, and I've been able to, you know, go, and that's why, yeah, you got to change whatever. Well, that's what the invitation is. The invitation is getting on my knees and saying, Lord, is there any wicked way in me? Lord, is there something that I'm not looking at correctly? You know, make sure that I have the correct vision so I can see things with the correct dominant eye. And we should obviously as well. You see, the Lord's shepherding, and this is obviously those things that we're involved in, and I'll be done here in the beginning of the afternoon, for the fourth part of the afternoon. In the Lord's shepherding, in Psalm 23, it says, I shall not want. Our people should not be in want of that which is spiritual food. We need to make sure that they're spiritual, try to get them spiritual. That's a decision they must make, but we ought to make sure that we're feeding them spiritual food. Sometimes we have a great ability to feed them to something that's fleshly. We can get them all riled up about the laws they're passing in our land. You know, we get them all riled up about what they're doing down the street in that particular place, and yeah, that's right, burn it down, you know, or whatever. We get, you know, get everybody foaming at the mouth. And I'm for burning it down. But the thing is what you want your people to do is be able to have the right dominant eye. First of all, be saved so you can have they can see things from God's perspective, but keeping God's perspective on everything in front of them. That's important for us to do. So he said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You remember the little boy in Sunday school was memorizing scripture so he could get a little prize in Sunday school, and he got stood up to quote the 23rd Psalm, and he started out by saying, the Lord is my shepherd, that's all I want. Now, he didn't quote it right, but his theology is pretty good as far as that. That's all I want. The Lord knows his sheep. Not just the name, but he knows everything. Do you know when they came into the town or villages, they would have a fold there, and all the sheep from the village of all the different shepherds would go in that fold, and they would hire a porter that would sit in the door and sleep in the door. Or when the shepherd was sitting there, as the sheep would come in, before they went into that fold, they had a rod that they'd stop each sheep, and they'd look over every single sheep to see if everything's okay, got any broken bones or scrapes or whatever the case may be, check them out as they go in. So they were checked on a regular basis on how they were doing. They already knew their names. Each sheep they know personally. I mean, they lived there with them. And the thing is, but they would always be mindful of maybe something that's not exactly right. And sometimes, you know, it all can't be done from the pulpit. Sometimes it's a personal conversation. You remember the guy that started a church, or he had passed into church, and he had a guy in a church, I think it was in Texas. And the thing is, I don't know why I pointed to him, but he'd been in Texas. But anyway, they could do what I'm going to tell in this story. He was down in Texas, and he had a guy in church, and the guy was, there was something going on in his life, and it wasn't right or whatever, and he knew what it was. So he decided to get to the pulpit, and he preached about that particular sin. He torched it. Well, man, half the church got mad, and half the church left. He went on a little while, and that guy was still doing that. So he preached it again, lost another half that was left. Finally, he couldn't afford to build it, so he went under a brush arbor. That's the Texas, you know, brush arbor. And so they went under a brush arbor, and he's pastoring them under a brush arbor. And so this guy is still involved in that particular vice, and so he decides, hey, I'm going to preach on it. So he preached on it. Everybody left but that one guy. So the guy's sitting there. So the guy preached, the preacher the next Sunday preached the exact same message because he's here, I might as well let him know. And he got done preaching, I mean, he just really tore it up. The fella came up to him and he said, preacher, that was a great message. Too bad the people that need it weren't here. It cannot all be resolved, you know, from a distance. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's a matter of sitting down with somebody and dealing scripturally with them, obviously, in their relationship with the Lord. Not always. You say, well, they'll get offended if I approach them. I think the thing is that's where you know your sheep. And it's not control, but obviously it's care in that way. He leads them. Psalm 23, it says in verse 2 and 3, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me. Doesn't push. There's a lot of drivers as shepherds, but you can't drive sheep. They follow you. And so We ought to walk with an example. We ought to talk with an example. We ought to care for our families an example and so forth. I'm not saying that we have to live in such a way that we have to mask anything that would be wrong or whatever that we do wrong. I think we ought to obviously do right, but not try to live apart. I was talking to Brother Noonan there about going bear hunting, bow hunting with a bunch of preachers. I'd rather go with a bunch of laymen. He said it's even worse with evangelists. And I can believe that. But anyway, I enjoy, in pastoring, I enjoy doing things with the men. And it wasn't something, if something that I wasn't good at or whatever, but there was men in the church who would, I'm for it, fine. Rather than saying, you guys that, like to do, The thing is if that's their thing that they enjoy, and I'm not just talking about funsy things, but the idea is you're building relationships with those people. They trust you. You're their pastor. You don't want to say, well, I want to get down so low that, No, the thing is you have an office you must honor as well. But the thing is it's a matter of leading in that way. In John the 10th chapter, verse 3, it says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He protects them. Many animals have the ability to protect themselves. A sheep does not. How many times you looked at somebody and say, you ought to know better? Now, maybe they should, but obviously at that moment they didn't. And it's a matter of trying to build them. Protect them. John the 10th chapter, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Loves the sheep. John the 10th chapter, verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The shepherd's reliable. He's dependable to the Lord because we're answerable to the Lord. Not we say, well, I'm answerable to these, the people. No, you're answerable to the Lord. They're his sheep, not mine. So when we're building empires and kingdoms, we have to realize that's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to minister to his sheep and be a responsible shepherd so that one day we can give an account for them that watch for their souls, if you please. I wouldn't trust a guy that didn't smell like a sheep. I'm not going to say, I don't trust you. But the thing is, if he's not involved in the lives of sheep, as a shepherd, what is it then? Whether it's somebody like, now I don't pastor, but if I go someplace, I'm going to talk to people about the Lord. I don't try to say, well, I travel, I don't get a chance to. No, sir. I'm still supposed to be ministering to people as best I can in any way I can. I'm a shepherd. I'm going to be accountable one day. I'm not trying to put that on somebody else. I'm saying I have that responsibility. When the wealthy man hired a shepherd for caring for his sheep, that shepherd had to be trustworthy and dedicated. And that's what we have. We have to be trustworthy because there's sheep out there. In 1994, some people are mindful of the fact, but in Rwanda, there was a civil war, and many of those refugees were fleeing over into Zaire. And many, many thousands and tens of thousands were dying en route, starving to death on those roads or being killed while they were trying to flee that civil war that was going on. Zaire, at that time, was a French protectorate, and now since then has become the Congo. And they were fleeing in there, and the French Foreign Legion was there, and they were given the responsibility of actually doing what they can for sanitary purposes, is to digging these mass graves because of the number of bodies along the roads and because of the disease that would be the end result if they were left there to rot with people around in that thing. And so they dug these cavernous pits with dozers and whatnot, and then they would push these bodies in to these pits, huge pits. And then they'd cover them back up, mass graves. One day, a lieutenant by the name of Da Silva was actually overseeing one of the operations there. They would put a cloth around their face and douse it in aftershave to cut the stench of the putrefaction of those bodies. And one day when he was standing there watching it, one of the men started waving at him to stop the dozer who was pushing these bodies into this pit. The man went over to Lieutenant DeSalva and said, listen, look down there. There's a little arm that's moving down there in the midst of those dead bodies. And he looked down and there was just a little arm of a child that was moving among those dead bodies. Obviously, thought was dead. They made their way over those dead bodies and pulled away the bodies away. And here was an 8-year-old boy that from the walk and all that had taken place, he had no strength whatsoever. They took him, he is still living, took him and breathing. They took him to the nurse's station. She nourished him and got him back to health, but yet something in his spirit was gone. You know what I mean? Just, you know, lost. And she said to Lieutenant DeSalva, who was very concerned about this young man, he said, you know what, if you give him a ride in your Jeep, any 8-year-old boy, I mean, that would be something. And he did. And it did. It revived that little kid's spirit that he was riding in this Jeep. Never had entered one before, saw them, but never. Lieutenant DeSalva adopted that little boy, and he said, that boy will have the same privileges and all that we could afford to our other two boys. And he adopted that little boy. He told a story how his parents were killed. And he told a story how he had 4 brothers and a sister that he has no idea where they were. He was all by himself. But he adopted them. Can I remind you that there's little hands waving all over this globe, all over your town, that is just hoping that somebody will see them among the dead and reach out and get them? I know somebody reached out and picked up my worthless hide, and the Lord saved me. And there's more out there, and if we're not careful, we'll get so commercialized and business-wise and everything else and forget the sheep and those people that need the gospel. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd. We're going to try to reflect that in the way we live. Remember the song, I see Jesus in you. I saw Jesus in you. And the thing is, that's the way it ought to be. You got to see Jesus in us. A little hands waving, you're a shepherd. What a great opportunity. We ought to smell like sheep. We've been around people. We're good. We're glad to be around people because that's who we minister to. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Lord, I pray that you bless. Pray you take the thought. May it be a help and encouragement for each and every one of us to search. Maybe give to the ophthalmologist today. Get our eyes checked. Say, you know what? I guess it's been a while since I've seen things clearly as I should. Maybe I need to get a better perspective. My dominant eye needs to get back to where it should be in that spiritual and go after the lost and dying in our world and caring for the sheep. Maybe tougher times from now because of the famine in the land and maybe lack of moisture and whatnot, but we ought to be busy to do what we can to care for the sheep in Christ's name. Amen. Brother.
Thank you, Pastor Young. I appreciate that very much. That was a blessing, wasn't it? Amen. Amen.
Well, at this time, what we'll do is we're going to take a break. We'll take about a 15-minute break, so it'll actually go till 2:30, okay? At 2:30, men, if I could have you back up here, and then downstairs, ladies, if you want to go down now, that's fine. My wife will have a few just refreshments for you. If you want to stay down there throughout the question-answer time, that's great, and fellowship. If you just want to, you know, you're madly in love with your husband and you just can't be away from him and you want to be back up here, I'm fine with that too, all right? Whatever. And my wife will not have hurt feelings, but yes, sir.
Does that mean I can hang around down there?
No, sir. but anyway, and then, so we'll meet back here at 2:30 and we'll have that question answer time, all right? There's a restroom up here in the, as you exit these doors to the left. You'll see a restroom there. There's 2 downstairs, obviously, ladies and a men's downstairs. And feel free to help yourself. Be back here at 2:30. All right, you're dismissed.